I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's a big week for new movies, and we're going to tell you about one of them. The film Hugo just came out. It's an adaptation of Brian Selznick's 2007 illustrated book, The Invention of Hugo Cabré. The story's about an orphan boy who lives in a Paris train station. His job is to wind the clock, but he's focused on fixing a mysterious robot that his late father passed on to him. In this flashback, Hugo and his father take a close look at the automaton. Hugo is played by Asa Butterfield and the father by Jude Law.
What does he do?
He's a wind-up figure, like a music box. This is the most complicated one I've ever seen, by far. You see, this one can write.
The film and the book celebrate the life and work of French cinematographer Georges Méliès. He was an early pioneer of magical filmmaking. In Méliès's best-known film, A Trip to the Moon, a spaceship lands on the face of a scandalized moon. He stopped making movies in 1913 and later fell on hard times. Méliès is actually a central character in Hugo. He's a grandfather who owns a toy shop in the train station, something Méliès did in real life. Méliès's granddaughter is Madeleine Maltet Méliès. She's now in her late 80s. She says she loved Martin Scorsese's new film, Hugo.
C'est un très bel hommage poétique.
It's a very beautiful and poetic homage, she says. She was impressed by Ben Kingsley's portrayal of Georges Méliès. She says he picked up her grandfather's movements and gestures. She was also impressed by the children in the film, including Chloe Grace Moretz, who plays Isabel. That's high praise because Isabel is based on her when she was a young girl hanging around her grandfather's toy shop. She says her grandfather never stopped creating. He drew on my school books, she says. Whenever he saw a blank page in front of him, he would draw creatures and caricatures. He drew the luggage porter, the man at the newspaper stand. He was a beloved figure at the train station, and Madeleine Maltet Méliès says he would have been pleased to know that people still appreciate his life's work. So, to find out more about the real Georges Méliès, we spoke with film historian Glenn Myrant in Paris. Myrant was also charmed by the new movie.
It's a whimsical, fun, almost an amusement park ride through Paris, and particularly the Gare Montparnasse, the Montparnasse train station in 1931. And I was just thrilled.
I want to dig into kind of the historical fact and fiction of Hugo and how the young Méliès worked as a film director. There are those great scenes in Hugo of Méliès making a film, I guess, about gods and goddesses of the ocean. Did that play accurately for you?
Absolutely. The title is actually 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And just as A Trip to the Moon was inspired by Jules Verne, so is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, if I'm not mistaken. And the special effect that opens that scene is Méliès filming through an aquarium to people supposedly underwater and the fish floating by. The camera pulls back and we see it's just an aquarium. So Méliès is the father of special effects.
I mean, it's a very simple kind of technique, but it worked to great effect. The glass house for extra light, the fish tanks. What was the most artful and best filmmaking trick, in your opinion, that Georges Méliès ever came up with?
Possibly a movie called Le Meloman, or The Music Lover, in which his head ends up being the notes on a musical staff, and he literally throws his head up to the musical staff up above him, and it becomes different notes as it goes along.
Mm. Yeah, and that's kind of referenced also in Hugo. Méliès was all about illusions and tricks, but he also shunned some technology, I gather, like talkies. He didn't like films with sound when that was innovated. Would he have approved of the film Hugo being in 3D, do you think?
I think absolutely. I think he was for the advancement of technology and certainly the improvement of fantasy in film. And 3D seems to help that. I think Méliès would have probably embraced it.
We also see this tragic side to kind of the end of his filmmaking career. He stopped making films in 1913, just before the beginning of World War I. And Scorsese suggests in Hugo that for the war effort, old celluloid film, including prints of films made by Méliès, were actually melted down to make everything from bombs to heels for shoes.
That's absolutely true. Because there was no collective memory or understanding that maybe if you save the films today in 20, 30 years, they may come in handy. They were just here to be seen and thrown away. So it was really the arrival of talking pictures in the late 20s that really forced most major countries in the Western world to start the first film archives.
Now, Méliès died in 1938, but at the end of his life, his work and art had been rediscovered, and I guess a lot of credit goes to his granddaughter for digging up kind of all the remaining prints.
Yes, there were very, very few films at the time. Méliès was slightly rediscovered, but up until, I'd say, maybe 20, 30 years ago, there weren't that many films rediscovered. He made over 500 films in 1936. There was maybe 80. Today, there's about 300 of the 500 that have been rediscovered.
By the end of World War I, Méliès was basically broke because he was plagiarized left and right in Europe and here in the U.S. as well. Also, he wasn't getting any royalties for his films, and that was an issue that involved American inventor Thomas Edison. Explain that.
Basically, his film, particularly starting with The Trip to the Moon in 1902, was pirated left and right, and because of that, Méliès sent his brother, Gaston, to New York City. They opened up a branch of the Star Film Company, and they had a much closer control over the films, but they were still pirated. And in 1908, actually, Edison joined hands with Méliès, with Lubin, with a number of people, and they made a trust, basically, to control the distribution of films in America.
He's best known still around the world for his 1902 film, A Trip to the Moon. And interestingly, the film Hugo is being released in France at the same time that a new documentary on A Trip to the Moon is coming out. What does this documentary reveal?
Well, it reveals that originally, as most historians are aware of, that the Méliès films were all hand-painted. And in fact, beginning in 1897, certainly for A Trip to the Moon in 1902, we're talking about 14 minutes, which is 13,375 single frames painted by 200 women, frame by frame.
Right, and that's how they made a color film at the time.
That's exactly right.
And A Trip to the Moon used to be accompanied by a live pianist. This documentary with a new version of Trip to the Moon in it gets a soundtrack by the French group Air. Tell us about that.
It's an extraordinary voyage. It's by Serge Bomberg and Eric Lange. At first, I had great trepidation in watching the film, the restored version of A Trip to the Moon. But after a few seconds, the music is absolutely stupendous. And in fact, Air's music drags kicking and screaming A Trip to the Moon into the 21st century.
That's a good thing, I think.
Absolutely. It brings to new audiences a film that could appear dated and kind of silly and this and that, but I think it'll wow audiences today.
Well, we'll go out with this new take on A Trip to the Moon soundtrack by the band Air. Glenn Myrant, film historian, speaking with us from Paris. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
That's it for us this week. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Have a great weekend.